I invite you to stand as you are able for our gospel reading today, which comes to us from the 13th chapter of Luke. Then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" And he replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Let us pray. Holy God, you have a word for us today, a word of comfort, a word of challenge, a word of hope, and a word of guidance for our lives. Make our hearts soft and plant your word in us that it may bear fruit through our lives. Amen. Well, I am not what you would call a patient person. Now, if you're surprised or confused by this statement, then I've done a fantastic job of fooling you the last few years. I try my best to, embody patience externally, especially in my role as pastor, but that is not my default state. You can ask some of my family members here. They will probably affirm it. When I'm driving, for example, on 141, sometimes I find myself being that guy that's trying to zip around the car and make the next light. Manchester Road, this one over here, that's my arch nemesis. Sometimes I try to take the back roads, the smaller roads home, thinking it will be more peaceful, I'll be more patient. Just the other day, I was driving home on Sulphur Springs and thinking, I know this takes a minute or two longer than the highway, but I'll be more patient, it will be more peaceful. But then someone had the audacity in front of me to drive slower than the posted speed limit. I mean, can you believe such a thing, right? As I said, I'm not a patient person by nature. But we live in this world that constantly seems to be moving faster and faster and faster, always marketing the immediate and not promoting patience. I mean, as Emily mentioned in her children's message, Amazon Prime shipping, right? You get 2 days shipping, sometimes even same day shipping. I don't even know how that's possible. I remember a couple weeks ago, I wanted to order something from Best Buy, and I almost didn't buy it on their website because it was going to take 7 days to ship to me from their warehouse to conveniently be on my front step. I mean, how much do they expect me to wait, right? But that's the reality. Our world is always training us for the immediate, right? For this instant gratification. And I'm guessing I'm not the only one in this room who struggles with patience. And when we think about these various fruits of the Spirit that we're talking through in this season, it seems to me that some of them are things that are innate in us, like things that we're born with. In our Grow Spiritually podcast this month, Joyce talked about the fruit of joy, and she talked about how that's something that we seem to have inside our hearts from the time we're born. But when I think about patience, it's a little different. I feel like patience is something that needs to be grown and developed in us. But it's also at the same time absolutely essential for our life together, isn't it? I mean, without patience, things fall apart. But when we have patience in our lives and in our world, it changes everything. In fact, I think that patience unlocks possibility. Patience unlocks possibilities. As we've been working through the fruit of the Spirit this season, I've come to notice how interconnected they all seem to be. If you remember back to the first week of our series, Verinia talked about love, and she talked about how love is sort of over all of them, and from that love flow all these other fruits. And I think patience, likewise, is like this sort of key that unlocks the possibility to experience more of all the others. Patience shifts our perspective. It allows us to experience more hope, more joy, more peace in our lives. Patience even makes love possible where love seemed impossible before. Patience unlocks possibility. And so when we think today about patience in our lives, I see three kind of distinct categories I want us to think about today. First is patience in our view of the world. What I mean by that is taking that long view when we're thinking about those big, complicated issues in our world that we're trying to address. That's the first thing. The second category would be patience in our relationships, in our interactions with others. And the third is to think about patience as a countercultural gospel witness. You see, we see all of these play out in Jesus' ministry in the gospel. So I want to zoom in on that gospel reading today and look a little deeper at it. Jesus tells this parable about a man who'd planted a fig tree, and after 3 years, he comes around and he finds there's no fruit on it, and he wants to chop it down right away, right? And what's the gardener's response? Be patient. Give it some time. Let me tend the soil, nurture it, care for it, fertilize it, and see what might be possible. So in these two characters, we have these divergent perspectives. One that lacks patience sees only the negative. It's wasting the soil. It's never going to work. Cut it down. But the one that has patience sees only possibility, right? Possibility in the future. And what's most amazing to me in this parable is not the parable itself, but what you notice when you look at it in the context in which Jesus was teaching this parable, because he doesn't say this randomly. He's actually speaking this parable in the midst of a very real, deeply personal, deeply emotional situation. If you read on a few verses in the Bible, in Luke's gospel, it says that Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. And right after this, a woman comes in who'd been sick for 18 years. So I want to look at these few verses together to help us grasp what he's saying here. It said, "And just then there appeared a woman who with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called to her and said, 'Woman, you are set free from your ailment.' And when he had laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God." I mean, talk about patience. This woman had been sick for 18 long and lonely years. Can you imagine what she must have been thinking, wondering, does God even hear my prayers anymore? Has God forgotten about me? Where is God in the midst of this? And after 18 years of waiting, God finally shows up and does the impossible, and she is healed. And here's the thing, though. If you read on in the gospel, what do you think the synagogue leaders, the religious elites, thought after all of this? They complained. They complain. They tell her to go away. Like her disfigurement makes them uncomfortable, like her needs make them a little queasy. So rather than bearing the fruit of kindness or generosity or gentleness or love toward this woman who is in need, the only fruit that they seem to be able to produce is one that says, go away. We don't want you here. And Jesus isn't having it. He calls them out and they have this interaction. But then here's what I find fascinating. The very next thing he says at the end of this exchange is this: "What is the kingdom of God like? And to what should I compare it? It's like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden, and it grew and it became a great tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches." Friends, I love me some good, yummy Dijon mustard on a brat or something. I know it's getting close to lunchtime, so apologies if that makes you hungry, but back in Jesus' day, that wasn't really the case. Mustard was more of a weed. It was used for some things, but it was this annoying plant because it grew so fast and so furiously that no one would plant it in their garden because it caused too many problems. So it makes us wonder, what is Jesus saying here? When you think of these together, first there's this parable about a man who expects a perfectly producing fig tree right on time, right as he expects it. And then we have this situation with this woman who'd been ignored and rejected for years, and Jesus giving her love and attention. And then after that, he points to this whole thing and says, "That which you reject and call a weed, that is what God is going to use to grow into the kingdom of heaven." And you see, the thing is, the religious leaders missed that possibility altogether because they lacked patience in their relationship with this woman and with others who were there. When we focus only on the immediate, only on ourselves, when we lack patience with others, we miss holy opportunities. The patience, or the lack of patience in this gospel story for the religious leaders produced the fruit of anger and frustration and judgment and rejection, but the fruit of patience, patience shifts our perspective and it produces a very different kind of fruit. So back to those three categories I mentioned earlier. Number one, patience in our view of the world. When it comes to the long, complicated, difficult challenges in our world, it is easy to fall into hopelessness, negativity, despair, and cynicism. Especially if we want change to come immediately and we expect it to happen right now, right like we want it. If that's our perspective, we're doomed to fall into these traps. But when we have the spiritual fruit of patience, it unlocks the ability to see possibility everywhere. When I think about big challenges in our world today, things like climate change or migration or poverty that seem too big for us to make an impact on, we can easily fall into these traps of anger, despair, and blame if we lack patience. But when we allow patience to work in us, we see possibility for hope and even joy as we move into the mission God's calling us to do to address these things. I mean, for example, think about it. We will probably never eliminate world hunger in our lifetime. But each year we keep packing meals that feed the need, and we do it with joy and with hope because we have patience, trusting that God is working something in that. We probably will never eliminate poverty in our city within our lifetime, yet we continue walking with people through the ministry of LifeWise because we believe that change is possible if we have patience and give it time. That's the first category. The second is patience in our relationships. You know, when we have the fruit of patience in our interactions with one another, it makes such a huge impact, doesn't it? Not just with those closest to us, but even with strangers. And as our culture has become more and more polarized, I find that I'm mourning the loss of some relationships in my life. I can think of several people that I used to be really close to years ago, but over time, the divisions of the day and the lack of patience in our world just kept pushing us further and further apart. I wonder if you've lost anyone. And I wonder what role patience can play in these kinds of strained relationships that many of us are probably feeling. I found that when I take the time, when I actually can have that patience to really listen and really seek understanding and value the relationship over agreement, beautiful things can happen. When we have patience with one another, it allows space for growth, the possibility for change, not just in ourselves, but in each other. And this growth, though, it rarely happens overnight. It takes time. And our culture seems to continually urge us toward outrage. It demands that we pass quick judgment, but think about how Jesus responded with his disciples when they messed up, when they got it wrong. He challenged them, yes, he continued to teach them, but he never stopped loving them completely. He never gave up on them. He showed them infinite patience. Which makes us ask the question, what has God's relationship with you, with me, been like? That's why I picked these readings from our Old Testament today. We see that all throughout the Bible, for generation after generation, there were generations of mistakes that God's people made, but God never gave up on them. And I am so thankful that God never gave up on me and showed me endless patience. I'm so glad that God never gave up on me when I got it wrong, that God will never, ever give up on us, no matter how far we stray. No matter how many times we fail or mess up or get it wrong or hurt others, God will never give up on us. And here's the thing, God also will never ever give up on that person with whom you might profoundly disagree with. See, God's patience for us, it's unending and it's unfathomable. And these fruits of the Spirit that we're talking about in this season, these are the very characteristics of the heart of God that somehow God chooses to give to us by the power of the Spirit. And I wonder how different would our world look today if every one of us, if all Christians, extended that same relentless patience toward others that God has shown to us. I mean, can you imagine how different our world might be? Patience, the third thing. Patience is a counter-cultural witness of God's love in the world. It's through patience that all these other fruits are unlocked and magnified and multiplied. More love and joy and kindness and peace and faithfulness, generosity, gentleness, and self-control. So my friends, may you receive and live in that patience that God has for us today and every day. Let us pray. God, I give thanks that you have shown us such grace, such mercy, and such patience. God, we are a people quick to move on, and we ask that you would show us your paths of patience today in our own lives, in our world, in one another. Help us to create this space to listen, to learn, to love, and to receive what you would have for us. God, it's hard to wait, but we know that in the waiting is where you tend to show up the most. So God, come into our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.